content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, November 18th through Sunday, November 24th, 2024. The commentary for November was written by Jazzy Bostock, a Conecuh Mowley Episcopal priest, farmer, wife, and foster mom. She lives and works in Waianae, Hawaii. The commentary for Monday, November 18th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verse 26. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us. Here's the commentary. I tend to believe that heaven and hell are manifest here on earth long before the end of our lives, formed in response to the way we live. When we are kind and loving, we manifest a kind of heaven here on earth. When we notice the beauty of this good creation or delight in one another, pray or sing, we experience a manifestation of heaven. Conversely, when we separate ourselves from others, hoard our resources, or allow greed into our hearts, we manifest a kind of hell. Through this lens, the rich man has created the chasm between himself and Lazarus long before the end of his life. He lives with this distance between them, fixing in his life a great chasm between himself and the poor man outside the gates. Closing the chasm would require the rich man to look at Lazarus and see his humanity, and offer in return a piece of his own humanity. And now I'm going to read the full passage of this gospel from Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." And the moving forward question for this Monday, November 18th, is there a chasm in your life that you're longing to close? Set aside your pride or anger and step toward bridging the gap. Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, November 19th. It is the day on which we celebrate the Feast of Elizabeth of Hungary. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verse 5. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Often I shake my head at the apostles. It seems an all too common occurrence in Scripture for Jesus to ask his friends if they understood a lesson that is hard to grasp. And they all nod and offer an enthusiastic yes. However, on this occasion, I think their response is exactly right. They don't fight with Jesus about who deserves forgiveness and who doesn't, or whether it's a good idea to forgive someone who keeps acting against you. Instead, their request for Jesus to increase their faith shows wisdom. We can't offer forgiveness without being grounded in faith. We can't offer love without being grounded in faith. Faith is the root from which we draw nourishment and the capacity to respond in difficult or even impossible situations. Sometimes we forget that we don't have to do the work Jesus calls us to alone. We have each other, but more importantly, we have God. We have a stream of living water to nurture and nourish so we too might increase our faith. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. Jesus said to his disciples, "Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you 7 times a day and turns back to you 7 times and says, 'I repent,' you must forgive." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, perhaps there's somewhere in your life where you feel you're being asked to go beyond your capacity. How might you lean on God? The commentary for Wednesday, November 20th, begins with a passage from Luke chapter 17, verse 15. "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice." Gratitude is a practice. It doesn't always come naturally, but I find when I feel thankful, my gratitude begets itself. The more I practice being thankful, the more I notice what there is to be thankful for. In today's gospel lesson, 10 are healed, but only one takes the time to turn back and say thank you to Jesus. I wonder if that man had been practicing. How easy is it in our own lives to forget to turn around and say thank you? Many have helped us get to where we are, teachers, mentors, family, and friends who have formed us and poured themselves into us. I wonder how many of those people we have left on the road without a second look. Now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for today from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, reflect on your life and think about someone who impacted you. Is there a way to turn around and thank them? Now let's look at the commentary for Thursday, November 21st. It is on this day that we commemorate Mechtil of Hackborn and Gertrude the Great. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed. Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." Jesus is making the most extraordinary statement. We often conceptualize the kingdom of God as something outside of ourselves, as something that will come down to us or come upon us. We read the Bible as if the kingdom of God will come at the end of this life, as if the kingdom is separate from us and our human existence. Here Jesus is clear. The kingdom of God is among us. It will not come from the sky one day or be offered as a reward at the end of our lifetime. Instead, the kingdom of God can be found here and now. We have a responsibility to live into this kingdom that God imagines for us. Are you ready to take the first step? And now I'm going to read from this passage from Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 37. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." Then he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here.' Do not go, do not set off in pursuit. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man in his day. But first he must endure much suffering and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so too it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed all of them. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day that Lot left Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed all of them. It will be like that on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, anyone on the housetop who has belongings in the house must not come down to take them away, and likewise anyone in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife? Those who try to make their life secure will lose it, but those who lose their life will keep it. I tell you, on that night there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding meal together. One will be taken and the other left. Then they asked him, "Where, Lord?" He said to them, "Where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, where do you see the kingdom today? Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, November 22nd. It begins with a passage from the book of James, chapter 5, verse 8a. "You also must be patient." My wife and I are foster parents and currently caring for a 3-year-old boy. We often ask him to be patient. In fact, my wife even has a song she sings to remind him, "Be patient, be patient, don't be in such a hurry. When you get impatient, it only leads to worry. Remember, remember that God is patient too, and think of all the times that others have to wait for you." Now, I'm not the poster child for patience. When I was young, my mom often reminded me, "Patience is a virtue, Jazzy. Today, as I care for a young child, I value patience in a whole new way." One of the critical lessons I've learned is that patience is a two-way street. Just as I encourage our foster child to be patient, I realize that I, too, need to exercise the same virtue. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" And the moving forward question for this day is, what makes you impatient? Can you reframe the situation and find some extra patience to give? Now the commentary for Saturday, November 23rd, the day on which we commemorate Clement of Rome. This commentary begins with a passage from the book of James, chapter 5, verse 16b. "The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective." I don't think I have ever been more challenged to understand prayer than during my summer as a hospital chaplain. As part of my role, I was regularly called into rooms where someone was sick or sometimes even dying. Often their families asked me to pray. I learned to pray for healing while holding space for that healing to look like something different than what we might have been hoping for. So often when we pray for something, we already have the exact image in our mind of what we want it to look like when God responds. We pray imagining God as some sort of a wish-granting factory. Prayer is answered. It is powerful and effective, as Scripture says, because it changes us. Prayer opens our hearts to receive the will of God, whatever that may be. And now I'm going to read from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Now for this day, I'm also going to read from the Gospel for the day, which is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, try a new prayer practice. Notice how it opens your heart to receiving God. Now, as we near the end of this week and the end of this program, let us turn to Sunday, November 24th. By the way, it is the last Sunday after Pentecost. Next week we'll begin Advent. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 37b. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. In the world, so much seeks our attention. So many voices ask something of us. Sometimes these voices come from outside, from work, friends, or family. And sometimes they come from inside, from expectations we have of ourselves. It can be hard to quiet those voices enough to listen to Jesus. What can help is having some understanding of what we're listening for. In my experience, Jesus doesn't speak to us directly. It's not like Jesus texts us or calls for a coffee date. We know from Scripture that Jesus speaks to us in many other ways, through friends, family, and nature. Jesus is speaking all around us, all the time. Jesus is speaking words of love, life, and liberation. We belong to Christ, and as faithful followers, we need to train our ears to listen to His voice and to the voice of truth. And now I'll read from this passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 37. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And the moving forward question for this Sunday, November 24th, what is a truth that has revealed itself to you today? And that is all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.